shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. 605-4567 is our phone number. Today is the 5th of March, 2020. It's 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Sue's at the helm in there. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning. Today is Thursday, March 5th. Today is Cheese Doodle Day, Hospitalist Day, and Multiple Personality Day. I guess I've nailed that one down.
Well, you've got us all in here then. If it's Thursday, I've got my lady Trish here. Thanks, Trish.
Good morning. Love Thursday mornings. It's 45 degrees in downtown Reading. We have a high today of 75, a low of 46. On Friday, looking for a high of 65 and a low of 43. On Saturday, chance of showers. A high of 57 on Saturday night, a low of 57. And on Sunday, again, partly sunny, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers, high of 59, low of 40. And on Monday, again, a slight chance of showers. And I hope that really turns to some more rain is what we're really needing at this point. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, are locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
There you go. Hey, we've got a special guest in here today. I should have had him on probably 2 months ago, as I've just talked to the young man for the first time today. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. How are you?
And Ben is a, as he puts it, and I'm not, you know, as he puts it, I'm a graduate of Shasta County Jail. Several times. And he's we're here though to show, to let Ben tell a story. First of all, Ben, it's Brindenburg.
Correct.
Okay, Ben. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. It's early.
Hey, thank you very much.
You bet. Tell us who you are.
So I'm a 41-year-old addict. You know, I spent more than half my life running amok, as we say. You know, we like to give ourselves cute little terms to make it seem a little bit less serious than it really is, but we come up with stuff like that. So I was out there running amok for about 21 years. Yeah.
And let me tell you, Ben's like what, 6'5"?
Six. Family runs.
I'm 6'8"?
6'6". Yeah.
Oh, 6'6".
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm the small one.
You're the small one. I imagine when you were running amok, people noticed.
Yeah. You know, I was a lot skinnier then. You don't eat when you do a lot of these street drugs today. You don't eat, you don't sleep. So I was kind of a skeleton, you know, at one point, riding a little BMX bike through town. And I mean, we've all seen this picture, you know, and I was definitely that guy. And as far as I know, there was probably a smell accompanied with that. You know, hygiene kind of goes out the window for the most part. And I did this for a lot of years, you know, decades, throughout the West Coast, going all the way down from San Luis Obispo County through Kern County, you know, up here, up in Seattle. You know, I was out there on the streets for a few years because it was so easy to get the basics in life and just being able to keep in your addictions. And it wasn't until I came here about 10 years ago, stayed under the radar for the most part. And still using, abusing, doing just absolutely terrible things. And 2017 got on the pages here. You know, now I'm on probation, and I was still messing up. And in December of 2018, I just started going through a string of arrests. And, I mean, at this point, my addiction has taken just full hold of me again. Went for a time without getting to see my kids. You know, I'm going through a divorce and have lost everything. You know, no job, you know, cars about gone, no house, no possessions. All the possessions have been stolen from, quote unquote, buddies, you know, that kind of stuff. And I kept getting arrested. And there was one gap in there. It was like 3 weeks or something. And because of our jail situation here, it was a turnaround, you know, hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm back out doing the exact same thing. And in January of 2019, I, you know, a lot of prayer involved. And I went to my probation officer and I said, my life is upside down. I got no control over anything. I need help and I don't know what to do. And he pointed me in the direction of the DRC, which is contracted through Shasta County here. It's the Day Reporting Center. Amazing program. Now, I still went. I went to court in February. I was still using, even though I was going to this place.
And this was February of
2019. Yeah. So okay. At the end of February 2019, I went into court, and I was still high, you know. And thankfully, you know, I served a sentence. And if it wasn't for that, I would not have ever gotten clean, period. And so I went in for 2.5 months at that point, and I came out, you know, with a clear head, and but I still knew there was a problem. I couldn't go back to just going to get a job, you know, and trying to do normal things because I still wasn't normal. I'm still not normal, but I still wasn't normal enough to go out and do these things. I knew recovery had to happen. So, first of all, the way that that was able to start was law enforcement. You know, the way that I was able to get a running start at it was incarceration, time in jail, that forced sobriety. You know, it wasn't like I was able to just go to a program and still have the temptations, if you will, of the street and be successful with it. You know, I had to have that time.
You had to be isolated.
Had to. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be sitting here today, period. So I got out and I got checked back into the DRC now with a clear head, you know, and I was ready to attack it. And that was my life. I mean, I got out. I was still on the streets because I didn't have housing just yet. I didn't know much about our local mission here, but I was afraid to go there. You know, I didn't want to run to old associates. So I went and hid, you know, basically at night so I could just sleep. But I went to this program every day. And after a few weeks, I was able to get into a sober living environment, which I now get to oversee a house. That's kind of cool. You know, I've got guys that I supervise.
You're mentoring?
I'm mentoring, yeah. And I dig it a lot. It's been an awesome ride. And, you know, that none of that would have started again without being arrested, you know, and without a whole bunch of different components of our local law enforcement being just absolutely influential in this recovery. And, I mean, I'm talking from attorneys. I'm talking about probation officers, the arresting officers, you know, of even CHP and sheriffs. I mean, those people were compassionate. You know, they have a job to do, but it wasn't like some, I know a lot of people think of it as like this Gestapo bullying or something like that. These guys, for one, they wanted me off the streets, you know, because they don't want crime going
on.
They've
seen you several times.
Oh, yeah. By this time, I was getting
first
pretty.
First name basis.
Yeah, we were getting really close to that, even though I'd never seen them before. You know, I mean, you got a 6'6" guy out there high on methamphetamine and everything else. It gets real quick. You know, and I want to note, it got to the point where the drugs were so frequent and so habitual and so second nature, you know, at 40 years old, I'm 41 now, but at 40 years old, this was October of 2018, I started doing heroin. And it wasn't because, you know, the meth wasn't getting you high anymore. It's just a normal thing. You know, it's like getting used to eating chicken salad every day. After a while, it just becomes a normal deal. So it was like, okay, I need this extra danger in my life. I needed something else because at this point the meth was so easy to get. It was so cheap, you know, and so prevalent that it was like, okay, well, I need another drug. I need to go find new people to network with, new people who have the same kind
money.
Of criminal and just ridiculous. I needed some other kind of mission, some other burden, you know, in life. And so I just kept on going.
How much is that cost you every day?
Oh, it everything. It costs you absolutely everything every single day. And even if you've got stuff left over, it is costing you way more than green dollars. It's going to cost you, you know, emotional and psychological capacity. It's going to cost you your family. It's going to cost you everything every single day.
But you had to steal.
There was some times where I did some unsavory things. Yeah. You know, I'm glad
but
I never
do
got
things because this is your life. This is what you live for.
It was.
And so, but you have to have money for it. So, I mean, this is. I don't think people realize how, you know, how this takes over your life so completely. But you're being very articulate about it.
It is absolutely the only goal in life. And I mean to a point of I have two beautiful girls that I get to spend just an immense amount of time with. And that's due to a lot of grace and compassion from their mother. And I did not deserve it by any means. She is
a
very lovely woman.
Ben Brandenburg, who I should have had on the show 2 months ago, made my co-host with this Measure A because his his bottom line on this is that it had taken over his life, and if he had not gone into the jail system and had the ability to come clean or to get clean, and it, of course, being in the jail system, hopefully that will do that. And then had the strength of will to go to the day reporting center, and then through that was able to work his way out of his addiction. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Resolution? How about joining us, Armstrong and Getty,
for the morning lineup right here on KCNR from 9 to 12.
There's nothing like it on Earth. The all-new Jeep Gladiator. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our cash and Jeep Gladiator giveaway swipe to win promotion. Win free slot play Thursdays at 8 p.m. All winners receive bonus entries. Two semifinal drawings, $10,000. Grand prize drawing Thursday, March 26th. Win a 2020 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. One of a kind with exceptional design. Purchase from SJ Denim. Details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
The Redding Gun Show, this weekend only, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center on Hilltop Drive. Modern firearms, antique firearms, blades, Indian artifacts, accessories, and much more. For more than three decades, the Redding Gun Show has been a premier show for buyers, sellers, and collectors of antiques and modern firearms. Don't miss the annual Redding Gun Show this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Burger snobs, head to Gift Steak Burger in the Mission Square on Bocelli Lane for the soon-to-be world-famous Ugly Burger. Thick and juicy, made fresh daily and barbecued to perfection over charcoal, then smothered with your favorite items from the Fixin's Bar. Order up fries, onion rings, mushrooms, and your favorite beverage, and you have a meal to satisfy the most distinguished burger palate. Gift Steak Burger is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Best burger in town, and plenty of verbal abuse from Mr. Ugly himself. Celebrating 40 years of burger excellence.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 7:19 in the morning, 47 degrees out there, going up to, oh gosh, I think it probably looks like around 75
degrees. 75 today.
70. How about that for a lucky guess?
Yeah.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. Your own private gourmet chef, your own place to have You're pet friendly. It's located right downtown. It's for people that live active lifestyles and they're seniors and they want a place to live. They don't have to worry about all that stuff like plumbing and everything. To get a personalized tour, to have a personalized tour, you give them a call at 238-5981. Have lunch with everybody. Brian Martin will give you a tour of the facility and let you take a look at it. It's located at 301 Hartnell Avenue. Worry less, smile more. Trish and I are here with Ben Brandenburg. And Ben is a graduate of Shasta County Jail, as he puts it several times, has turned his life around. And one of the ways it was is because he got sober in the jail and then went to the day reporting center, which he talked about going to before, but he just didn't have the at that point the strength.
Yeah.
Because there was so much out there. How he gave his whole life to drugs. And how it took his life over. You talked about the Day Reporting Center. Tell people what that is.
Absolutely. So the Day Reporting Center, it's owned by an actual company. It is still a private company called GEO. And GEO is contracted. I mean, it's an international company, but it's contracted with counties and states, and they work in prisons and jail systems. And it's EBP, which is evidence-based programming. And this stuff that they do has been researched almost a century now in prisons, and they develop curriculum, if you will, that attacks not just substance abuse, you know, that's an absolutely imperative cog, but they attack other things like the criminal mind, you know, what makes you act the way you do. You know, if it's not just substance abuse, then it's your associations or it's your initial beliefs and values that you had growing up, whatever. Your lack of trust in law enforcement or, you know, the normal society, that kind of stuff. So they have this wonderful office here that is amazingly successful. And if you go and you talk to Chief Neal, you know, Chief of Shasta County Probation, she has just got this amazing data on recidivism rates. And recidivism means somebody who keeps going back through the revolving door of the system, going back out, committing crimes. They go in for years, whatever. You know, they get arrested, they come out, they might have a little bit of good behavior time or something like that, and then they go right back out to doing the same thing, and that change isn't there. You know, sure, there was detention for a while, but that change isn't there. So with the coupling of incarceration to get that start for me, you know, because I did start going to DRC for the few weeks before I went to jail, but I wasn't clean yet, you know, and so going there, I was already on schedule to go to court to go serve a sentence, and going to DRC was kind of like keeping me accountable as far as being public and being somewhere that the county knew where I was when it was coming up to time for court. You know, if I was checking in there, they knew I was around, you know, and it's definitely a place where if I decided I wasn't going to go to court or if I absconded from my probation officer or something there, if I was going to check in there, they could have found me there. So once I did my jail sentence, when I came out, I hit it 100 miles an hour. And at this point, I hit it with the proper mind, with a clean mind, you know, and I was ready to take all the education and this is absolutely life-changing curriculum that they have there to offer. They do stuff as substance abuse education and treatment, sure, but they also do things that might just be common sense, like social skills, you know, thinking for a change. We role-play very simple stuff that, you know, you wouldn't think twice about it. Well, this is stuff that a lot of, and I'll just generalize the term criminals, these are skills, they're basic skills that they don't have. And this could be from a messed up childhood or, you know, someone like me, my childhood was great, but early on I decided to pursue this, you know, life of crime and everything else. I was attracted to it. So I unlearned all the good manners that I learned as a kid.
What kind of basic skills are you talking about?
Oh, social skills. How to you know, apologize to someone correctly. How to take a compliment and how to take a criticism. You know, something simple. We have these dozens and dozens of modules, they call them, of different lessons that are simple things, and they role play them out. So we call it
how to interact in regular society.
Exactly.
It's the big thing.
Exactly.
And how to trust.
And that is one of the hugest things. They go through this program called MRT. It's moral recognition therapy. And this starts off with, you know, the admission. And it is based off of, you know, 12-step recovery programs. And they get a little bit deeper into it. Now, 12-step recovery programs are great. And for a lot of people, they are enough that it wouldn't have been enough for me. And I'm talking about like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. I love these groups. They're amazing. There are people who can go through with that. There are some people who have more of the criminal side of things, you know, that they need a lot more. And I was one of those people. So they go through with these different steps. The first one is admitting, like, I'm the problem. You know, I'm the bad guy. Nobody is forcing me to go out and do crime. Nobody's forcing me to take drugs. I need to stop playing the victim game, and I need to stop pointing my fingers at everybody else.
Okay.
So,
let's go to the phones. Nick, sure. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just got in on there, and I was listening, and I don't know your guest's name. What's your name?
His name is – oh, well.
I'm Ben. Nick, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks for asking. Hey, Ben. I assume that you didn't get caught for all the crimes you probably committed.
Not all of them, no. And I'm going to tell you, Nick, that getting caught for all the crimes that I ever committed, it's definitely a minority.
Well, do you feel like that you have paid your debt to society for the crimes you committed just by going and getting clean and whoopee, everything's even? Do you ever feel bad about the property that you damaged, the lives that you damaged, the detrimental effects you have on society, and do you think the slate should just be wiped clean now?
Absolutely not. I don't think that the slate should ever be wiped clean, Nick. I'm actually really glad you asked this. You know, one of the big things that you go through when you do get clean and sober is making amends about the things that you have done. And I mean, there is countless of faceless victims in my life. There's plenty that do have a face identified. And with those people, I'm able to actively be a different person in their life. And it doesn't take away one single bit of anything that I've ever done. I want to be really, really clear about that. The only thing, if I could figure out how to go back in time and not do the stuff that I did, sure, absolutely. I would do that in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, that's not a reality. So the only thing I can do is live my life as good as I can, make direct amends to the people that I know that I've hurt in any way, shape, or form that's possible, and again, to just keep on doing the things that I'm doing now.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's interesting. That's
a good answer, Ben.
That was a good answer. That, you know, like, you know, that if you know the person and that you know you've hurt them, you go back and you try to make amends. You know, probably some people don't want to.
Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that's tough. And that's one of the things that being somebody who's really screwed people over, you got to live with.
So the situation you're in now, you're in charge of a safe house?
It's a sober living environment. Yeah. And I'm what they call a house parent, you know? So, I mean, I sit there, I try and, you know, you try and lead by example, but I'm there just to be an ear for the guys. I currently am in a house where everybody has a little bit less time clean and sober than I do. But that's not always the case. You know, sometimes there's guys who have, pardon me, especially guys who might have done lengthy prison sentences, they could have 5 years, you know, clean and sober. That part they've got a great foundation on, and they're very confident in that, and that's amazing. But they're learning other things, getting back into school, getting back into a job, reuniting with families. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that happens, and it really is a blessing to see this stuff happen. And so, I'm a full-time student. I work part-time here and there, and I have this amazing life with my children, and all that stuff is really cool. And it's like, hey, life can be just great without doing the same stuff that you were doing before.
How are you making a living at this point?
So I go to school full time, you know, and we live in a wonderful country that helps pay for school. I'm going to school in behavioral science, you know, and my dream is to be a drug and alcohol counselor and help, you know, change lives.
Where are you going to school at?
At Shasta College right now. Yeah, okay. And then my plan is to transfer to Simpson here in 2 semesters. So that's the plan for now, you know, but all wonderful plans are apt to change.
Shasta and Simpson are very great places.
Yeah,
to get started.
We're lucky to have those right here in our backyard.
Okay, so but back to the question of how do you, I mean, so you get paid for being at this home? I'm just curious.
No.
I wish.
Because
it takes money to live.
It does, absolutely. So, I mean, I still pay rent, you know. It's not bad But I also, you know, I do DoorDash and stuff like that that will fit into my schedule with school. But that is definitely the priority right now, you know. And I'm going to tell you, here a couple years ago, I was making tons of money, but I was still using and doing all those bad things. And I don't have a thing to show for that, you know. So nowadays, I'm able to pay bills. I'm able to, you know, go out once in a while with my girls, which is really cool. I'm able to keep gas in the car, which is registered and insured. Thank you very much, which is a huge deal. And I'm able to do life right now as it's appropriate for me. And, you know, that's definitely something that will keep on progressing. But I've done this before where I might have cleaned up for a little bit, you know, no lengthy time in sobriety or anything. And I would go get a job and get more money and more money and more money. And pretty soon I was right back into the same things. So, I mean, it's still a process with me.
One more question here, and we'll turn you loose. Measure A, you supported that.
Absolutely.
And?
Yeah.
Why? No, I mean,
why?
Yeah, why?
Because Measure A showed all the components of a long-lasting solution. No matter what kind of a direction you vote in, you know, whether you're conservative or liberal, I felt it had something for everybody. I mean, we do need more law enforcement on the streets. But along with that, also in our jails, in our prisons, we need more, in our county jail locally, we need more recovery as well. And Measure A opted in for that, you know, and that was a huge deal. It was the whole package. And kind of bummed that it didn't pass, you know, but hey, I think that just means we need to work harder at getting it out.
We need to find another way, because we need to take people off the streets that are a danger to not just society but themselves. And, get, you know, use that time to get them clean and then keep a and give them a chance like you had.
Yeah.
I mean, but it comes from within, though.
A wise man says quite a bit, and I love this guy. Hi, Derek. And I got to kind of steal his tagline here. But he said, Shasta County did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that's absolutely the case. And that started with incarceration, period.
Ben, thanks a lot for being with us. This is not the last time, Ben, that we're going to have you with us. And the over this next few months, as we try to figure out what to do, because we can't continue going on the same way and expect to change. That's insanity.
Exactly.
And there's people that the system helps, and maybe a lot of times we don't give enough time to people like you and others that have gone through the system. Yeah, they fail too, and we're quick to point that out. But we need to start getting the word out about how the system can work and how it can change the lives of people. So now that, you know, you're in your second year of college of Shasta, getting ready to graduate from there in two more semesters and head over to Simpson. And the point is that then Ben is a tax-paying member of society with a job that's out there helping people. Yeah. And he's a giver then.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you.
Great interview, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you guys very much. Yeah,
hang on
appreciate
a second.
It.
We do this. I can talk to you during the break here. Sleep Number. Hey, kiddo.
Hey.
You know, Linda has had the, you know, we hope it's the flu and not the coronavirus. But, no, she's had allergies and colds and everything like this. But right now, roughly 80% of all those New Year's resolutions you made or people make, I don't make them, are gone now.
Oh, way long time ago.
You know, and the thing about getting a good night's sleep is you got to be consistent. You've got to, you know, you've got to be quiet. You've got to get rid of the computer, all that, an hour before bed, and you choose the right bed, and that's what this is about.
Absolutely, and my sleep number is 55, pretty consistently. However, the last few weeks I've been floating around between 40 and 45.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my sleep number setting is 65, but it changes, too. You know, there is such a thing as beauty sleep, and if you get enough sleep, you know, it can do things for you. They adjust to you, to what you need on your firmness, and your partner can have a completely different number. Linda's sleep number setting is 40. There's a noticeable difference between the two sides of the bed. Right now, you can discover smart, effortless comfort with the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. This is not a bed. It's a proven quality sleeping system. Come in now and save up to $600 on select Sleep number 360 smart beds. For a limited time only, go down to the Target Shopping Center and go into the store. Tell them Carl, Linda, and Trish sent you. And find out what a good night's sleep is worth. We'll be right back after these messages. 7:34 in the morning here, 47 degrees, going up to 75.
A brother took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The brother tried to throw the monkey off of his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
Experience the life and story of artist and World War II veteran John Schuller through his paintings and memoirs in Turtle Bay's exhibit, Lost Man Blues, John Schuller, Art and War. Open now until April 26th. Learn more about this must-see art exhibition at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
So what's scorecard scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Root. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Root.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Join the adventure in Turtle Bay's new exhibit, Treasure, open now until May 3rd. Learn about the history, people, and technology of treasure hunting and get involved with fun, hands-on activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 605-4567 is our phone number. It's the 5th of March, 7:38 in the morning, 47 degrees out there, going up to 75 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, and Shasta Regional Medical Center is bringing us this segment. One of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals recognized by the Watson Health Organization. This is the 50 top in the nation. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Trish Clark and I are here. Let's go to the phones. Peter, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys, this is the first time I ever called any of you guys. I listen to you a lot. I both like and respect you. And but, you know, I'm listening to your show this morning with this guy, Ben. I wish him well. But, you know, I got a question for you, Carl. Are you trying to make guys like me that vote against the proposition for the increased taxes guilty or something?
No. You know what? I am glad that you exercised your right. Obviously, it wasn't done correctly. Because if it was like 64 or something like that, 64% throughout the county, and it failed that way. No, I mean, it was a resounding defeat. A resounding defeat. So there was something about it that was wrong. There was, and it was pointed out by a variety of people. I think it got 60%. It didn't even get 65% here in Reading. So the fact is that the thing was not, it wasn't either, wasn't packaged right. And I think it comes down to trust that people didn't believe that it was going to be done that way. So I'm not upset with people that voted against it.
It's about time that you realize that, us guys that have never been in jail, that learned things how to live properly at the age of 12 and 13, and at the age of 41 are finally beginning to grow up, I think it's about time you realize that we don't trust the government. I wish you'd put me on the show for a while to tell you what I've been through for the last 15 years dealing with the Elk Trail Water Association and Pat Minturn. Tish there called me, well, she didn't call me a liar, but one time I was talking with her about the Elk Trail, and I said, well, either Minturn or I are lying, and she said, I believe Minturn, knowing nothing about it. But the Board of Supervisors and the city, mate, us working guys don't trust any of them anymore, and I really object to you putting this guy on there. I don't know whether you're trying to make guys like me feel guilty. Guys like him now are unsustainable. There's too many of them, and I don't know. If he's still there, why don't you ask him what he's cost the taxpayer over his life?
Well, he's still here, Ben.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
When did he last pay taxes?
Actually, my last paycheck.
I was up at the Round Mountain up there, what's it called up there with delinquent kids. I ran a workshop up there and saw all the ex-druggos that wanted to become counselors and everything else. Mate, I'd like to see what you're doing in another couple of years, but I really object that at 41 you're just starting to grow up when I was doing the right. I've never been in jail, mate, and never been in trouble with the police in my life. Had a couple of speeding tickets. And I object to what you guys are costing us taxpayers that have never done anything wrong, pay our taxes, and expect accountability and good value for our dollars, which we're not getting. That's why the proposition failed.
Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. You haven't changed a bit.
Ben, and I held Ben here for a couple of minutes over, and the fact is that Ben's not going to argue. I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
No.
But, Peter, here's the bottom line on this for me. I mean, I've been working since I was 12. I spent a long time of my life in the military. I spent the next period of my life doing other things. I've come here. My wife and I have built a business. We're entrepreneurs. We've become parts of our society up here. And frankly, I'd rather Ben wake up at age 40 and become a productive member of society than hang out there, because I don't have to worry about Ben right now. I have to worry about the rest of them. And what do we do now?
And absolutely, Carl. And you know what? I'll say this really emphatically and with absolutely no mincing of words here. Peter, I agree with you. You know, it is frustrating. I can imagine living your life, toeing the line, doing the right thing for your entire life, and you're paying tax dollars, and you see people like me who have skirted the law, have screwed up, and we go through a phase, hopefully, of fixing stuff and going through recovery, which doesn't always work, and that's the sad truth. One of these deals with Measure A was here was a solution that's going to help this work more often.
And the issue is that everyone deserves an opportunity. And I mean, I'm a very conservative person. Everybody in the community knows that about me. But I am the first one to give someone a helping hand if they want the help.
A
hand up. I help them in the right direction.
And that's different. That's different than a handout.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
There's a question that came in here, and it says, can you ask about the availability of drugs in Redding compared to other cities?
It is, I would say,
a year ago.
You know, at least from a year ago, I don't know. I haven't been looking for them, but I would imagine it's the same as it's ever been. Once I started looking for them here, in very short order, you know, I had a whole slew of phone numbers or contacts or whatever that I could go to find stuff. Whether or not they had any depends on who all they know. And I mean, it's a pyramid scheme, whatever
readily
you want to
available.
Call it.
You were down
readily
you were at the
available.
Base, you were at the base of the pyramid.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. I was the junkie, not the dealer. So you talk about
it's available.
It's available, period. Yeah.
Carl, we have another phone call. Ronnie?
Hey, Ronnie, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Ben?
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi. Listen, I really want to commend you for getting sober and clean.
Well, thank you, Ronnie.
However, I kind of disagree on Measure A, and my husband and I are both in sobriety over 20 years.
Awesome.
And he had his license taken away, and he went into a sober living, and it was not run by the state. Now, I think people in the community, if they would, you know, they rent house. He said they rented houses to these guys, and they got Social Security, or SSI or
right.
whatever.
Right.
But they had to work. So I hear where you're coming from, though I'm going to tell you Measure A, for me, did not pass because there's no accountability with our supervisor. I wasn't sure where the money was really going to go.
You know what, Ronnie? And that's what we're talking about exactly. It's trust. And I agree. You know what? I cannot disagree. I mean, like I just told Peter, if it had been like a point, then you could say, you know, okay, people didn't. But when you get it like that, it lost bad. So obviously the message did not get across.
Right.
There's got to be accountability. And I thoroughly agree with you. I trust, I guess maybe, you know, but I kind of trust the people I know. I know Joe Comente. I know the other board supervisor.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was written in such a way that it couldn't be jiggled around, but it was a difficult piece of paper that they wrote.
Now getting back to Ben though.
Yeah.
And thank you, Carl. Yeah, there was no accountability. But I think if people understood what Ben is talking about, we're a giving community. And to rent houses out to clean and sober people, there could be problems, neighbors, whatever. But if it's done on a low-scale thing and supported through Social Security or whatever, these guys would take care of the house. That's why they were rented to them.
Well, you know, Ronnie, I can't help but agree with you. I had a halfway house right across the street from me when we found out what was happening. The whole street was worried.
Uh-huh.
But the guy that was putting it there talked to everybody.
Right.
And you know what? There was never one problem. They had their Christmas lights out first. The trash was out there. The yard
exactly.
was clean. And
they were
like little watchdogs of the street.
I think it all gets down to being that I'm clean and sober for, you know, 20 plus years.
Yeah, awesome.
You have to the trust.
Yeah, the whole thing.
And to see these people rehabilitating. Now we have two. My husband has two adult men that have been nothing but in and out of jail, and they're not allowed at our house unless they stay sober. And one of them went to a clean sober place in Redding. It's now closed down. It was over on Gold Street.
Uh-huh.
But he had the opportunity to just walk out whenever he wanted, and he walked out. But he walked out of our lives.
by doing that. So, Ben, kudos to you. 12-step works.
Thank you.
What you're doing is wonderful. I hope, you know, many more successful stories come out of what you're teaching us all about today.
Hey, Ronnie, thanks so much for your phone call.
Okay,
and congratulations on your strength.
You're awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Jeremy, you hang on, and we'll get to you right after the break.
I'm all right. Nobody's heard about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
The Reading Gun Show, this weekend only, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center on Hilltop Drive. Modern firearms, antique firearms, blades, Indian artifacts, accessories, and much more. For more than three decades, the Reading Gun Show has been a premier show for buyers, sellers, and collectors of antiques and modern firearms. Don't miss the annual Reading Gun Show, this weekend only, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Burger snobs, head to Gift Steak Burger in the Mission Square on Bocelli Lane for the soon-to-be world-famous Ugly Burger. Thick and juicy, made fresh daily and barbecued to perfection over charcoal, then smothered with your favorite items from the Fixin's Bar. Order a fries, onion rings, mushrooms, and your favorite beverage, and you have a meal to satisfy the most distinguished burger palate. Gift Steak Burger is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Best burger in town, and plenty of verbal abuse from Mr. Ugly himself. Celebrating 40 years of burger excellence.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It's time to glow at the Redding Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember. Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Redding Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, 7:53 in the morning, 48 degrees out there, going up to 75 today. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Visit Cornerstone Community Bank and experience how they move local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. Trish and I are here with Ben, Brendan Burke.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, it's such an easy name. And I will always find a way of screwing it up. Ben is, recovering. He's sober for a year and a week.
Yep.
And came in here to talk about the programs that are here. The fact is that he got clean. Because he spent 2.5-3 months in the jail.
Yeah.
He's a graduate of the Shasta County Jail, as he puts it many times, but he turned his life around.
And was a big supporter of Measure A, yeah. Because he knows that in order for them to get clean and sober, you need to cut off the supply, and you can do that with incarceration.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I could get on board with Measure A, but one of the problems that I have with it is that I don't exactly understand the things that are driving.
I'm sorry. Can you get closer to your phone?
You don't understand what's driving them? Yeah. Well, not the drive, but enabling. What is it that enables them to get on the drugs and to stay, you know, out of work and to have a life? How are they enabled? And my concern, I haven't exactly got it answered by other people that I've asked in the past, is to what extent is the public currently funding things that make it easier for a person to be on drugs.
And we just talked about that during the break, and so I want him to talk about that right now. Thanks a lot for your call, Jeremy.
Good question, Jeremy.
Jeremy, one of the things that I used to do, and not so much in Reading, but I have done it in Reading, you fly signs, they say, and I would hold up a sign. Now, mind you, and especially in our community, but in our country as a whole, in our state, and right here in our community, there is resources to get the necessities of life, whether it be medical attention, food, clothing. There's resources out there, through the proper channels. A lot of times, I wasn't focused on those resources, even though that was what I was advertising on my cardboard sign, and I would wait for at the end of a parking lot at Walmart, which they've gotten better at keeping that area from being loitered upon, by somebody holding a sign. But I would sit there and I would collect money, and sure, people have a compassionate heart, and even though that's a great thing and they are handing out dollar bills, whatever, the majority of the time that money was not going towards food. Very rarely, and I mean a staggering minority, was it going towards the things that I might have been advertised, whether it was gas or food or clothes or something like that. There's parts of our county, of our city, that you can go get these things. And I'm not even talking about, food stamps or Medi-Cal. I mean, there's other things where you can just go, and, there's food banks. And those are great things. So I don't want to get my words twisted on that. Those are great things. But that's what they're there for. The people who are shopping, the normal citizens who are just trying to go through a good, peaceful day, they're not there to enable or support an addict or somebody else that's standing there begging for money.
But when they give that dollar, so you are, I kind of get the feeling you're like, don't give them money.
I don't think so. No, not at all. Now, I used to make a living doing that.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be people in my community, my immediate recovery family, who might disagree with me, and there's going to be people in my church who might disagree with me. But if you love that person, give them a referral to some kind of resource, whether it be for recovery or give them, have a business card of a food bank.
I've got a number of great questions here.
Let me just finish Jeremy's answer, because his question was how much enabling is being done by the community. I think the answer is there's too much stuff out there to enable this behavior.
Way too much stuff. Okay. Yeah. I have an adult child coming out of jail soon. If I take her in, am I helping? And where do I go to help her?
I would say that depends on the revolving door that this person has gone through. Is this a repeated pattern? Have you done this before? Are we just committing acts of redundant insanity? If this is something – my parents, I have the most awesome parents in the world. There was no chance of me getting stuff figured out until they said, we love you, but we're going to love you from afar. Because I took advantage of acts of what they considered love, because that's just our natural instinct, and they were enabling me for years. they finally, you know, thank God, they stopped doing that. And nothing was even going to start until that happened either. And that sounds really harsh, and I hope it's not that way, but sometimes it does take being kind of, you know, that tough love, you know, and sometimes it takes like, hey, I love you, and I will drive you to appointments or something, but I can't have you, you know, doing this. So it really depends on is this a repeated type of behavior, you know, or is this something that's new? If it's something that's new, by all means, give that compassion a shot. By all means. I'm very clear about that.
We only got like 20 seconds.
No worries.
Is there a place that you would recommend that she could go to help, get help?
Yeah, I would definitely say North American Mental Health is a good place. If she's going to be on probation, have her talk to her probation officer about the DRC.
Okay. All right. Ben Brindenburg, thank you so much.
It's going to
be 30 minutes, and it's been an hour.
It's okay.
You know what? Our 7:30 guest called and said they couldn't make it. Somebody was sick, and I said, okay, I think we can fill it. Everybody out there that has questions like this, we'll have Ben back again, because I think it's important that we hear about, you know, if we can get somebody through the system and they get clean and sober, that they can become productive. But there's lots of questions, and people have a right to be upset. Anyway, Ben, thanks a lot for being
with
us.
Thank you guys so much.
Hey, when we come back, Terry Raposa.
On the heels of her poor showing on Super Tuesday, during which she finished third in her home state and fourth in several other states. Well, the oil-producing countries of OPEC cartel are proposing a deep production cut of 1.5 million barrels a day to support prices that are sagging due to the spread of the coronavirus. The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus has risen to 11, with a victim succumbing in California, the first reported fatality outside of Washington state. Meanwhile, Seattle and King County Public Health Officer Dr. Jeff Duchin says public health authorities are doing all they can to combat the coronavirus outbreak at the Life Care Center in Kirkland, Washington, and elsewhere in the community.
Our primary concern and our priority remains the health and safety of the residents of Life Care, the caregivers and health care providers in that setting, the health care providers in our community, and our community at large.
Washington State also announced another death Wednesday, bringing its total to 10. Also on SRNNews.com, a Tennessee couple has welcomed friends and neighbors into their home in Putnam County and are trying to help survivors recover some of their belongings from the rubble of this week's tornado that swept through the area. Daryl Jennings says the tornado was over in seconds. He then realized his house was the only one in his neighborhood still standing.
I walked outside to kind of see what the debris looked like. I thought maybe we'd have some trees down, and just looked around, and there were no houses left.
The tornado was one of at least two that swept through the state on Tuesday, killing at least 24 people altogether. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 648 points at 26,442. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm, phones, mm-hmm, life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds,
mm-hmm,
for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou!
He's like you. 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-568-2790.
Write it down.
800-568-2790.
Democrat is making a run for a House seat previously occupied by a Republican Duncan Hunter.
Democrat Amar Kampanajar advanced to the runoff in the race to fill the vacancy left by disgraced former Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter in California's 50th District. Kampanajar will likely face either former Republican Congressman Daryl Issa, who is attempting a congressional comeback, or former San Diego City Councilman Carl DeMaio, who are running second and third respectively in the all-party primary held Tuesday. Kampanajar is attempting his second run after losing to Hunter by less than 4 points in 2018. Hunter resigned in January after pleading guilty to a corruption charge. Bernie Bennett, Capitol Hill.
Police in Tulare, California, believe a shooting that killed a man and wounded five other people is gang-related. The shooting occurred Wednesday night as a group of more than 60 people gathered in an apartment complex following the burial of a man who died in a car crash. Police say a 23-year-old man was killed and wounded included a 7-year-old girl. News and analysis at townhall.com. Appeals judges at the International Criminal Court have given the green light for prosecutors to open an investigation targeting the Taliban, Afghan forces, and U.S. military and intelligence personnel for war crimes and crimes against humanity.
The appeals judges said the original pretrial judges had made a mistake and exceeded their powers when they said an investigation would not be in the interests of justice because it was unlikely to result in successful prosecutions. Instead, they ruled the prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda's request, did meet the criteria to grant an investigation by showing there is a reasonable basis to believe that crimes that fall within the court's jurisdiction may have been committed.
BBC correspondent Anna Holligan reporting from The Hague. The United States does not recognize the court and refuses to cooperate with it. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Our phone line is 605-4567 and 805 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. It's your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center, here it is the 5th of March, 2020. I'm here with Trish Clark, of course, recovering from our last hour, in the good sense. You know, of what we heard in that last hour.
And powerful, powerful.
Won't be the last person. He won't be the last time we get Ben Brandenburg on. So, what's the weather look like?
It's 50 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 75 and a low of 49. On Friday, partly sunny with a chance of showers later in the evening, high of 65 and a low of 43. And on Saturday, a chance of showers, high of 57 and
hopefully
a low of 50.
Showers.
Yes, low of 37. Partly sunny and mostly cloudy on Sunday night, high of 59, a low of 40, and then on Monday, a high of 54 and a low of 30, and we're 35, and we're looking for some cooler weather and hopefully some rain. Let's hope that's come.
Yeah.
The weather is always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call. 365-3793.
And they also are offering generators now. You know, as we know that PG&E will turn off your power when the wind blows, they are offering generators for sale. It can take care of your whole house or just aspects of your house. You know, maybe the refrigerators, you know, your freezers and all of that. So give them a call about that. And Sue, you've got a traffic update. We got something going on.
I do. We have quite a bit of maintenance on I-5 North at Gilman Road off-ramp also. An animal hazard. This is near the Trinity River, and we have a live or dead animal at Bowman Road and Amen Lane this morning, Amen Lane. We do have road maintenance at Market Street as well. Also, that's in downtown Reading. And quite a bit of maintenance in and around Reading. So if you are traveling, we have horses or a horse that's been on the road at Weeks Road. They're still trying to catch it near Churn Creek Road. That's been since early this morning. So apparently they're
so easy
wrangling
do.
It up. Yes. So the Cowboys are out this morning. But just remember, if you are traveling towards the coast, you could run into delays just past Weaverville. Ongoing construction between Reading and Anderson. Also off 273, they have one lane road closure. And now, Carl, back to you.
Okay. Terry Raposa is here with us. I'm going to take like 3 minutes of Terry's time here. I want to talk about two things. The first death in California from the coronavirus. California has declared an emergency. And my daughter, who has got a cruise that she paid for already for she and her daughter, my granddaughter and the family were going to go down on this, you know, this Baja cruise. And my daughter's a nurse. who goes into hospitals a lot. And she is trying to cancel that because the person that died here in California, from what I understand, got off a Mexican cruise. And she's afraid not that they're going to get sick, but they'll get caught in some kind of quarantine for a couple weeks. And then my granddaughter won't graduate from high school.
And what kind of luck is she having canceling that? Yeah. That's kind of a question in everybody's mind.
Insurance.
She didn't have insurance, but she doesn't want her money back.
Not everybody insures their trip.
But she doesn't want her money back. She'll take a voucher for a later time. And I think that probably that Carnival Cruise Line will probably go along with that after everything that's going on because she doesn't want her money back. They've got her money already. I just want to do it at a different time.
And most of the agencies, that's what they're saying.
The second thing I want to talk about is, and I'm just throwing this out here, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer yesterday threatened two Supreme Court justices by name, and said wrath will follow, depending on their
Roberts
vote.
And Roberts responded immediately.
And so unusual, because the Chief Justice never says anything, but he came back out and he said, you put our justices at risk. We've gotten to the point where the ranking senator in our country and for the Democrats, for the minority party, has threatened the two Supreme Court justices if they vote wrong. And then he came out later and said, I was talking about the Republicans. Of course you weren't. You were talking
about.
You called him out by name.
He called Kavanaugh out by name, yes.
He called them both out.
Yeah.
Gorsuch
so,
and Kavanaugh.
I'm just saying I think is completely wrong.
And yet the press
no.
will not say one thing about it or condemn them in any way, which is further evidence that we no longer have press. We only have Democrats.
Okay. All right. Terry Raposa is with us. Terry has a show on Sunday mornings. And we're going to talk post-Measure A.
Well, I had when I called in the other day, Chief Schuler, is it? Bill?
Bill Schuler.
Yeah, he wanted to speak privately because I had some information. And so I called him yesterday, and we had a meeting of the minds. And I think that there's some really enlightening things that we came up with. And that's what I'd like to talk about, because whenever you have a situation with the kind of vote for Measure A, it was, astonishing. There was, I know that Bill was telling me some of the money that was spent on getting Measure A passed. It's probably around $100,000. We're not sure where all the money came from yet, but I assured Bill we'd find out. When it gets defeated, 53-47, which I thought was amazing. I thought for sure it'd get 61-62%. It didn't. It actually lost. But there's some reasons for that, and Bill and I talked about that. There's a website called Transparent California. However, when you look at Transparent California, Bill and I discovered you don't always have apples to apples. He compared yesterday a nameless source that he's sending me. In fact, he sent me some MOUs. We're getting a lot of information from him.
Who's Bill Schuler?
He's the chief of police in Reading.
Reading.
So I called him. I told him that he took my call right away. Anyway, we discussed some things. What's the root of the problem? Why didn't Measure A pass? He went with this trust thing. I said, Bill, I have no reason not to trust you. I don't even know you. I said, here's the facts I have. And I started reading some stuff from Transparent California. And he said, that's not entirely accurate. It's not really apples to apples. And I said, well, why not? He said, because when you compare Chico to Redding, Redding has a thing called pension debt added into total compensation and benefits. And Chico does not. So, we talked about that a bit, but it's still something we pay. Point being is I took apples to apples. So what we did is we looked, for example, at Chief Moore, because we got the latest 2018 statistics, which was good, just got those. Chief Moore, without his pension debt, which was $115,978.69, without it, made $251,758.41. The Chief of Chico, apples to apples, $209,966.73. Chico has more police, more people, and probably a better economy now. And also more city employees. I don't know if they have more city employees. So what happened there is that that's a difference of $42,291.98. Okay, now the reason I'm going to give you that, I want you to remember that number. Let's go to the second in command, okay?
Is this going to be all about how much we pay people?
No, this is going to be the crux of the matter, so please let me finish, okay?
I am here. I've just asked you a question.
That's it.
I asked you politely.
I know where you're going. Okay, so the thing is that the second in command for Reading was a man named Wallace. That was Bruce Wallace. He made $239,622.30 and, of course, did have $93,000 in his pension debt. The gentleman in Chico, when we compare apples to apples, Mr. Madden made $197,452.47, $42,169.83. Now, the reason I mention those is as we go through the departments, you see the discrepancy being there. Now, why is $41,000 important? The city of Reading pays their employees, on the average, each employee full-time, $81,779. With their benefit package, we as taxpayers pay them, per employee, $122,329. Now, why is that important? Because the private sector person that works, like us, our average income in Reading is $40,901. And some of us pay our own benefits. Some of us pay our own medical. So the difference there is about three times what the private sector worker makes as opposed to the public sector. Now, it's worse than that, though, because every man, woman, and child pays $1,191 per person for the employee of the city of Reading. So now you look at the income being $39,710, and they're making $122,329 for each city employee. That's your problem. And I'm talking about the city of Reading, not Anderson. Apples and oranges there.
Okay.
Okay, so the deal is that if you have a situation where everything's so out of whack, money-wise, why in the world would people want to give more money? Why in the world would they want to do that, Carl? Plus, we have pensions coming up with all the retiring police officers.
Well, we're going to take a break here, and I can come back, and then I can, when you ask that question, why would we want to give them more money, I want to answer that. So this portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best over 47 years in business, locally owned and operated by Clyde Pierce. Over 32 years in the satellite business, your source for Dish Network. You buy a TV set from Clyde or, big screen TVs or any of this, he'll come in, he'll put it in, he'll put in surround sound if that's what you want. He is the expert. Go to him before you go to the big box stores. He can meet or beat their prices. Plus, you get local people working. The money stays here. Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. 1250 Hartnell Avenue. Give them a call at 221-4144. We'll be right back. Trish Clark, Carl Bott with Terry Poza, 8:17 in the morning here on the 5th of March. 48 degrees out there, going up to a beautiful 75.
In the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in Jefferson State of Mind.
There's nothing like it on Earth. The all-new Jeep Gladiator. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our cash and Jeep Gladiator giveaway swipe to win promotion. Win free slot play Thursdays at 8 p.m. All winners receive bonus entries. Two semifinal drawings, $10,000. Grand prize drawing Thursday, March 26th. Win a 2020 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. One of a kind with exceptional design. Purchased from SJ Denim. Details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The City of Reading has provided utilities to our current casino by agreement for the past 25 years. During this time, we have been one of the city's top commercial customers. In addition to paying for our actual utility usage, our agreement requires us to contribute to the city's general fund to offset impacts from our current casino. This has resulted in us contributing about $3.5 million to the city's general fund to help pay for vital public services that benefit us all. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
The Reading Gun Show, this weekend only, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center on Hilltop Drive. Modern firearms, antique firearms, blades, Indian artifacts, accessories, and much more. For more than three decades, the Reading Gun Show has been a premier show for buyers, sellers, and collectors of antiques and modern firearms. Don't miss the annual Reading Gun Show, this weekend only, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Burger snobs, head to Gift Steak Burger in the Mission Square on Bocelli Lane for the soon-to-be world-famous Ugly Burger. Thick and juicy, made fresh daily and barbecued to perfection over charcoal, then smothered with your favorite items from the Fixin's Bar. Order a fries, onion rings, mushrooms, and your favorite beverage, and you have a meal to satisfy the most distinguished burger palate. Gift Steak Burger is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Best burger in town, and plenty of verbal abuse from Mr. Ugly himself. Celebrating 40 years of burger excellence.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number. Give us a call. It's 5th of March, 8:21 in the morning, 48 degrees out there. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Bastiani Arms brings us this segment, 2539 Larkspur, locally owned, locally operated, great customer service, veterans get discounts. The only place I buy guns, from John Bastiani and his company. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. And, you know, if you're in there when it says closing time, they don't close. They're not a big box store. They're there to help their customers. Trish Clark and I are here with Terry Raposa. And Terry, over the last 12 minutes, told us about the cost of our police, which I...
No, I talked about the cost of the city of Reading employees.
The Reading police. And the disparity between the police salaries and even the city salaries and the average income of the people that live in Reading.
One thing I want to clarify, just because you have some really top paid people, so that average is skewed. I don't want people to think that the people working for the electric company at the desk are making $112,000 a year.
Well, the electric company is private.
Well, but I'm okay.
You're talking about the city itself, the city.
The city workers.
This isn't a slam on anybody. This
but
is just
I don't want people
fact.
To get the impression that everybody that works for the city of Reading is making $120,000 a year.
No,
because you have some really high salaries that minimum where you got a lot of people working for the city that are making $40,000-$50,000.
And you have
a year.
People. And
well,
I'm not sure about
70,000.
I'm not sure about the city, but I know the county. When I'm talking to them, is that they have people there working at the county that qualify for food stamps. Now, those are obviously. People
well,
down
you're
at the
two
bottom.
Different, you're talking
yeah, but
two
that's
different
two different things.
Things.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's what we point out. There are
Reading,
people.
And you're talking right. The county and
that's right. Right. Thank you, Trish.
Total different system.
And that's because it is a total different system. When I look at the cost of policing in Reading, I look at we've had I don't since I've been here in 12 years, we've gone through a series. Of city councilmen and women. The police do not make their salaries. And this has to be really clear, is they can't come in and say, I want to make this much money. They can say it, but it's up to the city council to agree on that.
Okay, that's fine, and I agree with you.
But we still have those costs. Now,
right.
If we go back to Measure A, and you're absolutely right, I talked about it earlier, I don't know if you heard me, Peter called in, others. Obviously, if this was close, it's one thing, but it wasn't close. As soon as you stepped outside of Reading, the further away you got.
It even Shingletown, lost in
Reading. Shingletown. Well, it did, but it gets to 65, but at least it was
61.
Like 61%. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, when you even get out to Shingletown and all these places,
mm-hmm.
Measure A obviously was confusing to a lot of people. It's obviously that people are mad about taxes. And the fact still goes back to, and everybody, I think, agrees on this, that we need a jail.
Yes, but that was never going to break, Brandon. This is something I talked to the chief about. Now, wait a second. This is what I talked to the chief about yesterday. I even said it's going to take about 3 years. He said, yeah. I said there was nothing in the jail at all about the jail. Excuse me. Nothing about the jail in the measure at all. And he said, that's true. But we told you guys... I heard some beeping on the other end. I'm not saying I was recorded when we talked. I just heard some beeping. But he said, we told you at the town halls that there was going to be a jail. I said, but it was never in the measure. You see, the measure was very specific, Bill. The deal is that on the measure, that is going to say specific things that money goes to specifically. We're talking about facts here and not what you're going to tell us or promise us or something else. Because there's three different takes on it as far as the money. $15 million from one supervisor, $31 million from another,
okay. You know,
and,
Terry,
and $85 million from
with
another.
You. I'm just that was Tuesday. We need a jail, right? Would you agree with that?
Carl, it never was about a jail.
No, I get tired of that question.
Well, only because
I don't care if you're tired of it. That's not what I'm talking about.
Of course we
I'm
need
not
a jail.
Talking about, okay.
We were the ones who brought it up to begin with.
Right. So the next step then, and we've got to step forward, using information that you bring in and other people bring in, the next step then is to build a jail. If something is written, it's got to be a tax. Right? Or is there another way of doing it?
Well, Patrick Jones won. He got 42%, and he won on the premise that there's money there. Now, let me ask. Now, wait a second. There may not be money for everything there, but we have to look at things we can do right now. Right now, we need sheriffs. We need sheriff deputies, period. We need them right now, right this minute.
Okay, but...
Okay, and...
May I just say...
Sure.
Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat, but Patrick has a learning curve. He's been a city councilman in the city of Reading, which is a totally different funding and budget system. He has such a learning curve when he gets to the county and determines that he has less than 10% of the county budget.
It's 13.
That he has anything to say about.
And it could be as high as 17 next year. So the deal is.
Do they have actual discretion over?
Mm-hmm. 13 to 17. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and how much?
Let's just go 17.
Okay, let's go 16.
But I'm not
going to. How much of that budget is already taken up by public protection?
Okay, here's the deal. The deal is probably most of that. But here's the deal. I'm not going to go after Patrick and what he did or what he needs to learn.
Oh, I'm not talking.
That sounds kind of condescending.
No.
What, he
I'm not
needs
saying
to learn
that.
Something?
Well, he absolutely does. He
does
has to
he?
Learn that he doesn't have control.
Okay.
He keeps saying that they can solve the problem by budgeting in the county system. I'm going to tell you that there isn't money in that system that he can build a jail out of. The existing money.
Did he say about building a jail? But here's the deal. Here's the deal. The deal is we have to take this one bite at a time. It's like eating an elephant. The first thing we need is sheriff deputies. I think we need some sheriff deputies, don't you?
Oh, I think that. Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about
that. And
we
can do that right away with a forensic audit. Why won't anybody do a forensic audit?
Well, they need to go back to zero-based budgeting, and I've said that for years. But you're still dealing with the pocket of money that's available to the county supervisors to do something.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because Sue's almost coming out of her seat there waving. Oh, you got Richard on the line. That's what it is. There's a guy on the line.
We see that.
Okay. Patrick sat here right across from me and said he wants to build the economy in the county.
Yes.
I applaud that.
Yep. Absolutely.
But I also know that, okay, it's going to take years to do that. And let's just, okay, do a forensic audit. Let's find $500,000 in there that could be used. So we hire two deputies, three deputies, because we pay our deputies so squat. And that's why we lose them. So we hire three deputies.
All we train them, and then
and one of the up. Arguments, one of the arguments against A, one of the arguments not, was when if we have more police, and once all these bad guys are off the street, we don't need as many because all the bad guys are off the street.
Well, you don't have to keep arresting them.
But I disagree with that on other reasons, not necessarily that. If we can get 300 off the street, our last guest is a perfect example about can happen. But we do need more deputies because it still takes an hour to get anybody
yes,
out.
Yes, sir.
But to think that we're going to build a jail, which is going to cost millions, by building our economy is not going to happen in the next – I mean, if the economy raises just – 2% a year, how long will that take? So if our first priority is a jail that will help take these people off the street, and all it is a jail, and I think you need DAs and public defenders just to keep them, to get them into court. If it's just that one.
If you don't have the people to handle them.
And I'm not talking about more police. We can find more money. If Patrick can find more money for the Board of Supervisors, because it takes three of them, finds the money to hire more sheriff's deputies, that's great.
So the economy only grows 2% a year, then we're SOL anyway. That's what you just said, is the economy might grow.
If it's growing, how much did it grow? I mean, if you take a look at it, and I don't have the figures, I'll have to go back.
Let's see here.
I mean, if you just build it and take the taxes from where it stands right now, I'm not sure, and I'm open. If somebody can show me that and say, oh, no, we can do it by doing this, and in 10 years we'll have our jail.
Okay, if we don't know what the crux of the matter is, okay, what I gave you was some statistics in Reading. I gave you the statistic that showed that basically the city employee, and you're right, Trish, some people make a lot more than other people do. But it does show it being with the benefits which we pay, and a lot of us pay our own benefits. I paid all my own medical. In fact, Sal and I's medical before we were old enough to get Medicare, our medical was about $1,100 a month. Okay? So we were paying that. Plus, we were paying the city's medical, and we were paying their retirement. And when you're looking at $122,329, I mean, how else do you compare that to $40,000 and then down to $39,000 because you've got to pay $1,900 per person? And let's talk about apples. Chico, $506. It's half.
We're taking a break now.
There's no money there, though.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over a quarter of a century with outstanding service. They can work on any type of heating or cooling systems. We're on that program that every 6 months they come in, they change out the filters, that make sure the air ducts are working, the thermostats are working, so that our system is working to save us money on electricity. They've been voted best in the North State, veteran-owned business. I trust them implicitly. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Richard, hang on to pass the break. We'll get right to you. 8:32 in the morning, 48 degrees out there. We'll be right back.
Sit around the house, get high and watch the tune. colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com. Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's a good thing that the microphones are off during the break here.
Got the whip in the chair here.
Carl lost it. It's my fault. Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you Cypher Square Barbershop, the best barbershop in the world. Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. The only place I go to get a haircut. Man's Law Stronghold. They work on appointments now, 244-9478. Cypress Square Barbershop, right across from, who is it? Subway, right down in Cypress Square. Okay, we're here with Terry Poza and Nick Gardner. Nick walked in.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've all agreed. Okay. Have we all agreed that Measure A is over?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you know, it doesn't seem like that to me. You guys have been talking about it for 2 days.
Let me finish what I'm saying here, okay? Measure A is over, and and the people voted resoundingly against it, the people of Shasta County. 61% in Redding, and as soon as you walked out of Redding, it was a lot lower. So it never even passed in Redding. So Measure A is over. So now we want to talk about what we can do moving forward to make our community safer. Can we agree on that?
Sure.
Let's go to Richard first. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I voted against it basically for this reason. It wasn't specific as to what the sales tax would be for. It got to be a mismatch after the initial proposition, more housing in the jail. And there's no sunsetting of it either. It's just like every other thing. It's just going to go on forever.
You're right.
I wanted a sinking fund specifically for jail housing, and it would sunset and expire at the end of sufficient revenue to do it.
Okay.
More law enforcement in the city of Reading. So what? You're going to speed up the revolving door. That's all you're going to do. You're going to arrest more, so more will be released.
Okay.
On their OR. You know, that's why I voted against it. There was no sinking fund specifically for jail housing, and it wasn't ever going to sunset. It was obviously just going to continue. And then even then, everybody wanted a piece of the action. And I could tell that jail housing was like in second or third place on election day.
Okay.
So I voted no on that.
So that's all good to know. And I think that we've got the message that it passed for a lot of good reasons.
It
failed for a lot of good reasons.
Now we're moving forward.
Now we need to find a solution. We have an issue. We have people who are not being incarcerated. We're not safe in our homes. We need a solution. What can we do as a community to change
specific.
It?
And when you get it sufficient for housing, eliminate the tax. That's my proposal.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Richard.
All right.
Okay. So we're here with Terry Raposa and Nick Gardner. The Terry's first point of taking back the county is more sheriffs.
Well, the first thing we need to do is a forensic audit to see what we have. You have to see what's in your checkbook. You can't have a business and run a business unless you know how much money you have. So the first thing you need to do immediately, and we did bring this up to Joe Comeni. He kind of nodded his head, but nobody's ever done anything. Why won't they show this? I asked Steve Morgan the same question. Do you know what's there? He said, oh, that book's so big, I've never read the whole thing. I really can't even find what's in there.
Well, Terry, and I will tell you, the last time any kind of close look was taken at the budget, to the best of my knowledge, was in the early 90s.
Wow.
When the Board of Supervisors spent 3 and 4 days every year doing the budget line by line. When I joined the board, Maurice Johannesson and I joined the board with Molly Wilson. And
right.
we did a line-by-line examination
yes.
of that budget. We had budget hearings for 3, 4, 5 days. Everybody in the county almost had a heart attack.
I know. It was
to my knowledge,
great.
I don't think yes. they've done that since.
No,
we
I don't
We did
think
it
so
the
either.
First 3, 4 years I was on the board, and yep. we did find money.
Yep, you did. And, you know, Trish, that's something, too, because I remember you and Molly. In fact, I voted for you. The thing is that you've been a you guys went through there and you really did the due diligence. I mean, you know, these guys are throwing their hands up going, gosh, this
they
is just
too much.
They did
a budget in a half hour. I mean, they have
yeah,
a,
they don't
they open
know.
The hearing. They don't,
that's what he
they,
said.
They don't look at it.
And that's what I'm trying to say. So, yeah. again, you've got to find the symptoms of the problem before you solve the problem.
Okay,
and
that, so.
And so the first thing is the deputies.
Then the
we need to get deputies
audit.
Once we do the audit, and then we can find the deputies. So
okay. We need deputies to make the unincorporated area safe. But the problem is, you've got to be able to lock the people up
once you arrest them in any of
Let Terry finish, because I think that's probably going to be someplace in here.
Well, you know, I think that, well, what we have to do is what we can do first off the get-go.
Okay. Get more shares.
No.
More shares.
Forensic
definitely.
Audit.
Okay, forensic audit.
Okay, so, okay, just, okay. Okay.
Well, I've only got like 30 minutes left. I'm sorry, I only got like 18 minutes left.
Well, I've got 18 minutes left, but there was 30 hours talking about Measure A.
The show is over at 9 o'clock.
I know it is, but the thing is that you expect me to give you a complete solution. You expect any one person. Here's one thing, the second thing we do. First thing we do is do a forensic audit. The second thing we do, let's do these few things in a row, like eating an elephant one bite at a time. Forensic audit, number one. Number two, you have the Board of Supervisors go to the people and see what they think. Not the Board of Supervisors going to agencies and seeing what they need. When I moved here in 1975, the first neighborhood watch meeting I went to, the police said, we need more policemen. We're always going to need more policemen. Always. It'll always be. We don't have enough guys. We're understaffed. We got injured guys. All that stuff. And that's not good, bad, or indifferent. It just is. So the second thing we need to do, once we start the forensic audit, is to have town halls where the boards of supervisors say, hey, who has some ideas? Who has some ideas as far as how we solve this thing? We know we need a jail. How do we get to that?
And how do you get the people to attend those?
Oh, I'm sure that you will get people to attend those. No, because here's the reason that people didn't attend that I heard. Because you asked me a question, I'm going to answer it. This is what I heard from people, including Nick, because they write down the questions and they don't answer the questions from the audience. There wasn't any audience participation. And Trish, I heard this from Steve Morgan. He said that these don't mean anything anyway because this thing is already in concrete. It's already done. It's already done.
No question. They needed to, what you're saying is they needed to go to the people.
Yes, ma'am.
And have the meetings
yes,
prior
ma'am.
To the time they rolled.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
and I think if you were a supervisor, you would do that, I think.
So they go to the people and find out what the people want.
Yes.
And if the people say they need incarceration another 400 incarceration, then what? Find a way to pay for it, right?
Well, then what you do is you get the ideas on what people have as far as how we would pay for that. What are some ideas people have? Well, the first thing we do is we try to find some money somewhere, right? That's what we do. With the cities that are participating, Shasta, Anderson, and Redding, okay? We do know that those people would want to participate in that. In fact, when I went up to the Shasta to hear where Patrick ran, that was four, yes?
Yes, District 4.
Okay, four. I went up there. Every one of those candidates at the time said they really didn't understand Measure A. They weren't really behind it, and they had their doubts about it. Well, the thing is that, again, let's find out what people want. Not in a venue to where you have questions written down that you can pick and choose what you want to say, or that you bloviate the whole time about how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. At the beginning, as our sheriff did, our new sheriff, we're going to build the tower, and then a little while later, I hope we build the tower. You know, it's sort of like, oh, okay. Well, you see, the whole point is that no one went to the people, to the voters. You're now having something called an informed voter. And those people want to give their input, because there are some people out there who are pretty smart people, a lot smarter than I am, that might have some really good ideas. But if you don't listen to them as an elected official, then it's a problem, isn't it?
Okay, we're going to take a break here for our last segment.
Nick's going to get to say something.
Terry's hour.
I'll let Nick say something, sure.
Okay. Hey, I want to remind everybody that this Saturday, March 7th, from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Hall, there are American Legion Family Shasta Post 197 is celebrating 100 years of service to the community, state, and nation. Live music, raffles, displays, info booths, fancy coffee. If you want lunch, it's $10. And meet the hardworking Legionnaires and auxiliary members. Saturday, March 7th, 12 to 4, Veterans Memorial Hall on Yuba Street next to the post office. And by the way, looking at Shasta County's manufacturing growth, they saw a growth in real gross domestic product rates of 10.6. We'll be right back.
Well, I went down to the Grundy County auction. I saw something I just had to have. My mind told me I should proceed with caution, but my heart said go ahead and make a bid on that. And I said, hey pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make you mine on mine. I'll do your bidding and be at your beck and call. Yeah, I've never seen anyone looking so fine. Man, I gotta have her, she's a one of a kind. I'm going once, going twice. I'm throwing a lady in the second row. She's a 8, she's a 9, she's a 10, I know. She's got ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes, and I'm about to bid my heart goodbye.
The Redding Gun Show, this weekend only, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center on Hilltop Drive. Modern firearms, antique firearms, blades, Indian artifacts, accessories, and much more. For more than three decades, the Redding Gun Show has been a premier show for buyers, sellers, and collectors of antiques and modern firearms. Don't miss the annual Redding Gun Show, this weekend only, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Burger snobs, head to Gift Steak Burger in the Mission Square on Bocelli Lane for the soon-to-be world-famous Ugly Burger. Thick and juicy, made fresh daily and barbecued to perfection over charcoal, then smothered with your favorite items from the Fixin's Bar. Order a fries, onion rings, mushrooms, and your favorite beverage, and you have a meal to satisfy the most distinguished burger palate. Gift Steak Burger is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Best burger in town, and plenty of verbal abuse from Mr. Ugly himself. Celebrating 40 years of burger excellence.
It's time to glow at the Redding Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember. Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Redding Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Tomorrow's guest, as planned, is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. We'll be on, and then Just for Hunting, and the American Legion, all for tomorrow morning, and, of course, Haven Humane. Terry Poza and Nick Gardner here, and Nick, your turn.
All right. Well, what I've heard for 2 days is that everybody's hurt because Measure A didn't pass. There was so much put into it, so much effort, but the public was never asked what they want. It was, this is it, take it or leave it. We're going to have a forum Sunday at 10 o'clock on Sovereign Minds discussing it in depth. I hope you can tune in right here. What I've heard this morning was Carl say that we need to repackage this and represent it. And the fact is, every bit of this was turned down. There's nothing in there that's palatable to the public. Terry and I differ on a few things, and that's fine and dandy. We hash things out. I believe we should put immediately on a half-cent sales tax dedicated to only build a jail and staff and run that jail. And I do believe locking these people up would be a cure to our problem. I don't believe they need all the support that the different agencies say they need, and the supervisors need to listen to the public. Leonard Modi cut me off when I was telling my thoughts on having a jail, and I demonstrated before Joe Comente came out with his tax that there was support for a jail-only tax, and that's it. And I'm going to turn it back on over to Terry.
Nick, you came on when they were talking about it, and this was your point. Give us a jail-only, it'll pass.
And at a half cent, it will pass, no doubt in my mind. And in 2 or 3 years, 4 years, they can come and say, look, look, we've done this. We've done what you've asked. Things are getting better. They'll get better more if you give us another half cent for some sheriffs and for some prosecutors. But you're not going to get the whole shebang at one time, and I don't believe you need the whole shebang to start with.
Would there be a sunset clause?
Sure there would.
Okay, so you can't have a bond.
At the discretion of the voters.
You can't borrow money, then. You can't have a bond. It's got to be pure from the sales tax.
Well, we could go borrow on the sales tax, a commercial loan type deal for $100 million. Pay it off in 10 or 15 years. There you go. How long are you going to be paying on a bond, and how much is a bond going to cost us?
I've got a question for you. You had mentioned something about the DA's office now becoming social workers.
Oh, that's...
And I think that's a pretty good point. I want you to tell folks what your thought was on that.
Well, I it leaves a sour taste in my mouth when Stephanie Bridges said that her prosecutors are so busy lining up the criminals, the people that are charged with services and rehab and the things that they need. And my thoughts are your job is to prosecute these people, not to get them into programs. Tracy Neal says the same thing. That guy that was just on here, he wants to get the wants to go to the navigation center. Well, you know what? That's social services, in my opinion. Tracy Neal should be monitoring these people on probation and make sure they're sticking to their probation. And if we had enough jail space when they weren't, we could lock them back up. And then I heard rumors that, well, we need to bring Chief Mike Johnson's plan back for a navigation center. I don't like that either. And then I heard Joe Comente tell a gal at one of the town halls that he envisions a navigation center and a Noah's Village side by side down on county property in Brulizer.
That's gone. That's gone. That's not going to happen.
That wasn't part of Measure A.
Right,
But that shows me his mindset. He wants to help these people.
You know,
I want to help the taxpayer live in a safe environment. I want to be able to go outside and work on my garden without locking up my house behind me. In fact, I'd like to go downtown Reading without packing a gun, but I don't feel safe anymore.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Because I think this was a really good point, and you brought this up to Leonard Modi, and I thought it was a good point. When you talked about Donnell and how you had found out some information, and somehow that's been glazed over in the fact that the Board of Supervisors is getting information from people who we pay to give them accurate information, and the information wasn't true. And you did play the clip of it that showed it was the evidence of that. Can you explain that to the folks?
Well, Donnell Ewert claimed that San Antonio was going to build a new jail, but they put their money into social services and a homeless resource center, and in fact they didn't have to build a jail. They have 1,000 empty jail beds. I called San Antonio's jail, and they didn't have 1,000 empty jail beds. I went to the next supervisor's meeting and pointed that out, and they didn't even discuss it after the meeting. They just let it blow over, and Les Ball says, well, I turned it over to Larry Lease.
Did they have any empty jail beds?
When they said they didn't have 500 empty jail beds, that satisfied my answer. Donnell claimed they had 1,000 empty jail beds.
That's on the record.
I was just curious to know whether that.
You know what? I understand that people need to be held accountable. What I'm looking at right now is how we move forward. And I think you're absolutely right. I think we need public forums. I think they need to be large, like we did that one time. And we had the Sequoia Middle School filled to capacity, people outside, people listening on the radios. We broadcast that. People got to ask questions. Yep. And I think we need that. And the people we need to have there on that stage – the people we need to have there on that stage is the guy in charge of the jail, so he can talk about what it cost. You know, I'm not talking about the sheriff. I'm talking about the guy in front of the jail. I think we need Stephanie there to talk about why we need DAs. And I think the rest of it should be recorded in writing and in video of the people saying what they want.
That's true. Now, the thing is that we have a forum we can use. We use it all the time. We used it for the largest debate for Senate District 1 in the state, which we had over at the Patriot meeting. We had the largest one. We had 400 people. What we do is we line up people on the sides of the building, we have two people with microphones. Those people hold the microphones, never relinquish them, so that you don't have somebody using.
We're
just
agreeing on this. So that
no, no, no. You're asking me for a solution. I'm trying to answer these questions.
Sure.
The thing is that basically, what we do is we have the questions being asked. We hold the microphone, so if they get out of hand, they want to make a comment or something, you can take the mic from them. We do that. The heavy lifting, Carl, is always done in Q&A. It's always done in Q&A. People really don't give a rip about what you're going to stand there and bloviate about. They care about what they care about. They care about the concerns they have. They want to ask you the questions about the concerns and also the ideas that they have. And you're right, we should have a public forum. I mean, that's what we've been trying to say to begin with. So we have one and two, don't we? We have an audit that hopefully will get us deputies, and we have a public forum immediately.
Okay.
Another thing that was pointed out to me.
Less than a minute. Go.
When a police officer comes to work, he wants to arrest bad guys. He just can't wait to get out there and arrest bad guys and take them to jail. And after about 5 years, when he sees the revolving door, he loses interest. Yep. He just wants to put in his time drive. If we had empty jail beds, he'd be putting bad guys in jail his whole career.
Everybody
we
agrees.
Need jail beds, not a navigation center.
Tomorrow, if we're still on the air. Terry, Nick, thanks for coming in today. Trish, always. Sweetheart, thank you. Yeah, I got this. I got this. Butthurt report, measure A failed. Thanks, Nick. Everybody have a great day. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Back down. Regional Medical Center.